is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show. Glad to have you guys with us here. Kevin Lytle joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline. Kevin, let's talk CSU football first. A tough weekend for the Rams as they got smoked by the Boise State Broncos. They lost that one 49-10. And we'll see if they can turn the page the rest of the season. But that was a rough one. We had a feeling Boise State was going to win fairly easily, but not quite like that.
Yeah, it got lopsided really fast, and that kind of derailed any chance of CSU competing. And to be, you know, I'm not sure fair, you know, not making excuses here, but that's the best Boise State has played all year. That's what everyone up in Boise, you know, the folks that cover them daily, said they kind of clicked on all cylinders there, which they hadn't done. And that's obviously not a good recipe for CSU because, you know, they need for that game to be close, CSU needed to play probably their best game and probably needed Boise to be a little off as well. And neither of those happened. So, yeah, a rough night in Boise, which frankly is just kind of how it goes for CSU. It seems like, especially every time they go up to the blue, it turns ugly pretty fast. That's what happened 2020 as well. So, kind of just same old story for CSU and Boise State.
Well, and Boise State's Talen Green, he's going to be a problem in the Mountain West, isn't he, for quite some time?
Yeah, he looked really good. I mean, he's shown flashes, and, you know, it started, you know, as a running quarterback. That's what he was doing the first few weeks. But as it's progressed, you know, defenses are trying to keep him in the pocket. And along with that, he seems to really be progressing as a passer. You know, yeah, CSU definitely didn't execute and create difficulties for him like they would hope. But you also have to give him credit. He was making some throws, and he was on the money. And when he did have to run, that 10-yard touchdown run was pretty impressive as well. So that guy, you know, if he can do that consistently, that's a big problem. Obviously, that's the next big question for him, but certainly a big talent.
What did you make of I know you put together an article getting a lot of quotes from Jay Norvell, kind of talking about Boise State and, you know, hey, that's where we want to be. We want to be at the top. That team, every single year, no matter who they have at quarterback, whatever, they're at least projected to do something pretty big in the conference. And Jay Norvell's looking at that team kind of saying, hey, we got to get to that point. We got to get stronger. We got to get faster. We got to get better.
Yeah, it's kind of in every way, and it kind of echoes what Norvell's talked about, you know, most of the season, that they're just not good enough, which, you know, is true. All of us with eyes, you know, agree with that the roster isn't good enough. And it's not just your top-end players, it's depth, too. I mean, Boise State had a number of injuries. You know, things weren't, you know, set up perfectly for them, but they just have the depth and the size and the strength. I mean, it kind of looked like, you know, a varsity against a JV type of scrimmage just as far as the, you know, physicality difference. So, yeah, that's where CSU needs to get. They need, you know, long athletic players, and they need to get stronger in the weight room. They need to get bigger, and certainly they need more depth. I mean, CSU's in that, you know, in the high 50s in scholarship players right now. So it all kind of came together and basically just showed where CSU is and where they need to get to.
And that'll be the big thing going forward, right? We're excited about Jay Norvell. But now, you know, again, there's still work to do this season. But obviously, we're already kind of looking on to next year because we feel maybe that's going to be the year you start to see things click with this four air raid thing. But bottom line, Kevin, you can't hope to really have a crazy passing attack like the four air raid is supposed to be without a solid offensive line giving the quarterback enough time to step back and find those receivers.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, you know, probably top priority, I would say, this offseason is to fix that. And, you know, I remember saying in August that the one unit CSU could not afford injuries to was that offensive line. And so, lo and behold, what happens? The most injured unit on the team is the offensive line. So, you know, some bad luck there, but two, obviously, just not enough depth. Both in quality and quantity. So they've got to get that unit going. Because, yeah, you can't sling it around if you can't protect the quarterback. And, you know, we saw in that first half, Clay Millen was getting hit a lot. I think they had Boise had four sacks in the first half. So, you know, it just can't happen. You know, you have to fix that.
What do you think? And again, I think I ask you every week about Clay, because I think that's what we're also watching, because, yes, you got to get the offensive line right, but the quarterback has to be kind of a special player to ultimately run this four air raid style. What are your thoughts right now? Again, every single week with his growth, he was out for a couple of weeks, so that slowed some things down, but kind of wanted your thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, still, you know, okay, I would say. You know, if I were grading him on the season right now, probably be like a B minus maybe. You know, hasn't been anything, you know, spectacular, but also hasn't been bad. He generally makes the throws. You know, hasn't been spectacular in any game either, though. And that's kind of what Boise was. You know, there was some misfortune. You know, I remember the first drive, you know, it was like a third and four, third and five, something like that, and he had, I think it's Avery Morrow on a little slant that would have been a first down. And, you know, he throws it, you know, straight between Morrow's hands and bounces off his face mask. You know, that has to be caught. You know, he threw the deep ball to Justice Ross Simmons. That was just a beauty. But on the other hand, you know, there are a lot of, you know, quick, short checkdowns, which, you know, you can understand why. But, you know, it's not really moving the ball much either. So, you know, I think Clay's doing just fine. And, you know, I don't think you can be too frustrated with anything he's doing. It's just such a young, inexperienced group. I mean, you look at the receiving core too. You have Torrey Horton, who obviously has a lot of experience, but then three freshmen playing a bunch, and then a couple walk-ons playing a good bit too. So it's just crazy inexperience on that offensive side. I've been looking around. I think the offensive side of the ball is probably has an argument as the most inexperienced group in the nation.
Yeah, and that's tough. It's hard to win football games when you have that much working against you. So again, a big off season coming out. It's not like it's the end of the season, but certainly got to be looking forward to the off season to get this thing right and slowly get it back on track for Colorado State. On the basketball side of things, Kevin, you got to see an exhibition game a few days ago against MSU Denver. You know, 91-52. That's perfect. All right, that's a good practice game, so to speak. But we get into the real deal starting up on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exhibition, you know, is nice just to play other teams and get to try out some stuff against, you know, players who don't know what's coming and not practicing against yourself. So they had that, and they also had a quote-unquote secret scrimmage against Minnesota about 2 weeks ago. So they've had a couple opportunities, and, you know, I think everything is going as well, I guess, as you can hope with all the adversity they've dealt with. I mean, obviously Isaiah Stevens being hurt is the biggest one, but they've had guys out with, you know, illness, injury, all sorts of stuff. It's been a pretty chaotic preseason just through kind of misfortune. So there's a team that's in transition. You know, I don't think there's any sugarcoating that. But, you know, last year when this team started, they were kind of close to the finished product. Not that they didn't develop over the course of the season, but you knew from game one that they were going to be very good. Whereas this year, I think you're going to see a lot of change and growth from game one to game, you know, 36 or whatever.
What kind of, when you look at how many changes they've had, obviously David Roddy, we knew that was coming with Isaiah Stevens being out for a while. How do you see this team functioning? You know, so much of it was through David Roddy or even with Isaiah Stevens running the show here. What kind of offense do you see Nico Medved putting together to start the season?
Yeah, frankly, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. I think they're going to play even faster than last year. I think they're going to get up and down. And you're going to see, I guess, more balance and diversity in who's scoring. You know, if you're looking for someone to average 19 a game this year, you're going to be disappointed. But you might have four guys average 10 to 13 or something like that because, you know, that's just how they're best up, especially with Isaiah Stevens out. You're going to need different guys stepping up. But I do think we're going to see really high-paced play and a pretty exciting brand of ball. I think there are going to be times it's going to be kind of chaotic and you know, ugly and disjointed just because of the youth and change. But at times I think it'll be pretty electric too. So it's going to be pretty fascinating to watch, and, you know, especially that point guard position with Isaiah out. You know, how do Baylor Hebb, and Tavi Jackson handle it?
Yeah, no, a lot of questions, and I'm excited to see this team in action. Get back to Moby Madness there starting up on Monday. Kevin, I'll look forward to catching up with you later today when we get to Rams Weekly starting at 5 o'clock. We'll delve into a little bit more of the specifics surrounding the football program and a look ahead at the basketball team.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Plenty to talk about.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he's our CSU Rams insider. If you want Colorado State insight, you go no further than what Kevin's doing at the Coloradoan. 47 minutes after the hour. Before we break here, let me tell you about Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They provide orthopedic services for injured workers as well. They understand how important it is to quickly treat workplace injuries and help you get back to work. So should an unfortunate accident happen, they would love to be your partner in getting your employee or getting you back healthy and back to work from an orthopedic injury. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check out their website at orthohealth.com. 48 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll round out hour number one coming up next. More on the Denver Broncos. Where does George Payton stand at this stage? You know, he's wheeling and dealing, and he has been since he's been here. How much of what he's had to do has just been recovery for what John Elway did in his last 4 or 5 years with the Broncos organization? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.